Tell me a little bit about the way that you got interested in this subject and what the transit of Venus actually refers to. Is this something that's happened in modern times?
Well, a transit of Venus is a very rare astronomical event where a planet goes across the face of the sun as seen from the Earth. Now, that sounds a little obscure, I understand. But in the mid-18th century, that was the mechanism by which they attempted to define the distance from the Earth to the sun, which is required for all the astronomical prediction calculations. They could calculate accurate planetary and lunar positions, and they used a value for the distance from the Earth to the sun called the astronomical unit. And so the astronomical unit is one for the Earth because it's the distance from the Earth to the sun. You can use that then to calculate the size of the orbit of any of the planets, their distances from each other and from the sun. The speed of their rotation is a fundamental and analytic methods to define this value called the astronomical unit. It was the holy grail of astronomy in the middle of the 18th century.
And so how does the transit help them calculate that?
Well, we can't just take a yardstick or an odometer on a car and measure the distance from the Earth to the sun. So you have to have something that you can use as a reference. And that reference is what's called the solar parallax. That is, if you are on one side of the Earth looking at the sun, the angle you measure is different than the angle you measure if you're on the other side of the Earth. And once you have measured this phenomenon, this value called the solar parallax, you can use that to calculate the astronomical unit, which you can then use to calculate all the planetary and celestial positions. Where the transit of Venus comes in is it gives you a way to calculate the solar parallax, which requires there to be observing stations on the Earth as far apart as possible to be able to observe the entire track of Venus as it goes across the face of the sun. And so expeditions were mounted for the 1761 transit of Venus to go all over the world, from Siberia to Baja California to Manitoba, to gather the data that it took to do that calculation. And the 1761 expeditions were marginally successful, but they had about a 30% range in the values that they calculated from the observations that they made. And so the next Venus transit after 1761 was in 1769. Now, the neat thing about the 1769 transit for us was that it was not visible in Europe, but it was visible here. And so that put here, in this case, call it Philadelphia, at the bleeding edge of transit measurements because that was the only place it could be seen. Now, the American Philosophical Society, guided by Benjamin Franklin, mounted a full-scale effort to set up observatories to observe the transit of Venus in 1769. And they spent 6 months putting together observatories, one in State House Square in Philadelphia and another one at the farm of David Rittenhouse, who was America's most accomplished astronomer of his day. And they got to thinking, you know, if it's cloudy here, we'll both get clouded out. We need another site that's more likely to be clear. And the only possible site, considering the condition of transportation of those days, was in Lewis, Delaware. It was the only populated town that you could get to from Philadelphia in a reasonable amount of time and effort. And so the APS, the American Philosophical Society, put a team together to go to Lewis to set up a temporary observatory to observe the transit and submit the results.
What does the observatory entail? Like, how do they have to, what kind of equipment do they need to look at it?
All you need to observe a Venus transit is a small telescope. They used a little one that was about 4 inches in diameter. It takes a clock, an accurate clock. And the critical part is for the reporting of the observation is you have to have as accurate as possible coordinates, the latitude and longitude of where your observatory is. And that's the focus of the expedition, was figuring out where their observatory was, because there were very, very few places of known geographic coordinates in the colonial area in 1769. As a matter of fact, there were probably two places that had accurate longitudes, terrestrial longitudes. The team that the American Philosophical Society sent to Delaware was a guy named Owen Biddle, who was 32 years old, and Joel Bailey, who was a master surveyor. He worked with Mason and Dixon on the surveying of the borders of Maryland and Pennsylvania. So remember, you may recall that I said that in Philadelphia they'd set it up State House here in Norriton. They had Rittenhouse's farm. Mm-hmm. They had 6 months to set that up. And they did a pretty good job with it. The team that went to Lewis had a week.
Wow.
And the major obstacle they had to overcome was the geographic coordinates of where they set up the their observatory. And so Joel Bailey put together a team, probably hired locals, and did a survey from the observation site to the southern border of Delaware. It's about 27 miles. So he did a state-of-the-art survey in primitive rural Sussex County. He did it in 4 days and did it right.
So talk about some of the challenges in figuring out their route and what they had to go through.
Well, the main thing they had to go through was they had to do an accurate survey for a matter of 27-odd miles through undeveloped country, and it was windy and rainy the whole time they did it. But they did produce accurate results that were used internationally. But you can't say that one site was more or less important than another, because the analysis is done between pairs of sites. You need distances between these locations. But the results that they got in Lewis and the temporary observatory were used, we know, of at least four times in the 19th century as they calculated more refined and more accurate values for the solar parallax and the astronomical unit. This expedition for the Venus transit in 1769 put Lewis on the map of the history of astronomy forever. And it just seems like an unlikely turn of events that little Lewis would be out there playing astronomy with the big boys on an international scale. And it just tickles me that they did it and did it so well.